True crime is full of unanswered questions, but earning your degree doesn't have to be a mystery. That's where Southern New Hampshire University comes in. SNHU offers more than 200 online degree programs with flexibility that puts you in the driver's seat and trusted support to keep you on track, even when life takes an unexpected turn. Find the answers you're searching for at snhu.edu/48hours.
Summer is flying by, and if your calendar looks anything like mine, it's packed with plans to squeeze in before the season ends. But more plans mean you need more energy, not more complicated steps in your morning routine. Grüns can help make your morning a little simpler. It's a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It isn't a multivitamin, a greens gummy, or a prebiotic. It's all those things, and then some. It's a fraction of the price. You get over 20 bioavailable vitamins and minerals, and the ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Instead of choking down earthy powders or swallowing a handful of oversized pills, you just open one daily pack of Grüns. Plus, they taste great, so you actually remember to take them every single day. Even better, each pack delivers 6 full grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the fiber of standard greens powders and equivalent to over 2 cups of broccoli. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at Grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
Deborah Atrops was 30 years old. She was a young mother.
I didn't get to have my mom growing up. It was this mystery that has never been solved.
Rihanna.
My name is Rihanna, and I am referred to in the story as the baby.
Riri.
The 8-month-old baby who lost her mom.
Yeah.
So you believe on November 29th, 1988, this was the last known location where she probably came.
Mm-hmm. We believe that she drove alone on this very rural road, and that was the last drive that she took alive. The car is found on December 1st.
I knew she was strangled and she was found in her trunk. There was just so much unknown. Who did this? Why did this happen?
We focused pretty early on Robert.
Handsome.
Like me?
Bob Atrops was married to Debbie Atrops. They've been married for a year or so, and they were struggling, having issues in their relationship, which caused them to separate.
We continued to conduct additional interviews, follow up on various leads, and then it went dead. It was a tragedy. There were times when I wondered if we would ever make an arrest.
Finally getting answers nearly 35 years later, as prosecutors say now 68-year-old Robert Elmer Atrops is the person responsible for the November 1988 murder of his estranged wife, Deborah Lee Atrops.
I was just in shock. I couldn't believe it. They 1,000% got it wrong.
The motive evidence is very, very strong. Debbie Atrops had a new romantic relationship with a man named John Pearson. They worked together. She was excited about it, but she was very concerned about Robert Atrops finding out about her relationship with John Pearson.
The husband is often the obvious suspect. However, Debbie Atrops had a complicated life and kept a lot of secrets.
We view this as a case of actual innocence.
There is more evidence that suggests John Pearson was involved in Deborah Atrops' murder than there is Bob Atrops.
They thoroughly interviewed John Pearson. Things were good between him and Debbie Atrops. He had no motive to commit this crime.
John Pearson did have motive to kill Debbie Atrops. He said that in hindsight, he thinks that Debbie Atrops was only with him because she was looking for somebody to pay the bills for her. That's plenty motive.
Hello, Rihanna Lynn.
My dad did not do this. I know my dad. I know his heart. And I know that he'd never be able to live with himself doing that.
Natalie Morales reports, the mother I wish I knew.
It was Thursday, December 1st, 1988, when Deborah Atrops, known as Debbie, was found murdered in her car next to a construction site here in Beaverton, Oregon. Debbie had been reported missing 2 days earlier by her estranged husband, Bob Atrops, who lived about 5 miles away on this rural road.
So where are we in relation to the Atrops case?
Right here is Southwest Conzelman Road in Sherwood, and this is where Bob Atrops was living at the time of Debbie's murder.
On the night she went missing, Bob says Debbie, who was then 30 years old, never arrived to pick up their baby Rihanna as expected.
I think that it's important for everyone to know that just because a case goes unsolved doesn't mean that it's forgotten.
Allison Brown is a senior deputy district attorney in Washington County, Oregon.
Here's our exhibit list.
Who, along with attorney Chris Luman, joined a team of investigators working on Debbie's unsolved murder. Brown says they hope talking to the original detectives, witnesses,
we've got videos, this is from the scene,
and looking at the evidence again,
phone calls from 1988,
might give the old investigation new momentum.
There were opportunities for forensic analysis that were not available in 1988.
Debbie Atrops was last seen alive on Tuesday, November 29th, 1988. Bob Atrops called the Tigard, Oregon police that night at 9:40 p.m.
This is the Tigard Police, can I help you?
My wife was running about 3 hours overdue from a hair appointment. I was getting a little concerned.
Okay, what's her name?
Deborah Atrops.
Okay, and what kind of vehicle would she have been driving?
It'd be a black Honda Accord.
Bob told the dispatcher Debbie hadn't shown up after an appointment in Tigard, about 8 miles from his house, at a hair salon called Razzmatazz.
Called, what, rang about 20 times.
It would probably be easier for you to make a run down her path to, you know, how she would go than it would be for us.
Bob says he drove the route and saw no sign of Debbie. He called Tigard police back at 10:25 p.m.
Why don't we give it about another hour, and if you haven't heard anything, give me a call back.
Bob did call back a third time at 11:29 p.m.
Here is Bob Atrops again. Have you heard anything?
No, and the guys have gone out. It's real foggy out, but they have checked around the area. Did you go to Razzmatazz and see if her car was there at all?
I did, but there's no car. There's
no friends or anything she might have gone to visit?
Checked. Called everyone to think of.
But the one call Bob did not make that night was to Debbie.
Okay, sir. We have checked around the Sherwood area, and we can't find her car at all.
The dispatcher suggested Bob call the Washington County Sheriff, which he did at 11:34 p.m., and they opened a missing persons case the next morning. But Debbie Atrops would not be a missing person for long.
Even though I've been retired for years, it still kind of hung over me.
Washington County Sheriff's Detective Michael O'Connell remembers responding to the scene when Debbie's car was found. The license plates had been taken off. The window was open. And the keys were inside. O'Connell's partner called Bob Atrops.
You being the husband, mm-hmm. We need permission. We'd like to search the car.
Okay.
And like know if that'd be all right with you.
Sure.
A few minutes later, police found Debbie's body, face down in the trunk.
She was nicely dressed. Still had her coat on. Looked like she'd been placed somewhat carefully in the trunk.
Police say Debbie had been strangled and there were no signs of sexual assault. There was mud on her coat and shoes, the front passenger tire, and the steering wheel of the car. Law enforcement scoured her vehicle for evidence.
It looked like someone may have tried to wipe down the hood. There were like broad clothing swipes. like someone maybe was trying to destroy fingerprints.
O'Connell and his partner went to Bob's house to tell him they had found his wife's body. A witness who saw Bob later that day told the cold case team he was very calm, much more calm than I would expect.
It wasn't consistent with a grieving, estranged husband.
Debbie's stepfather, Ed Holland, says her mother, Gloria, who was close to Debbie, was overwhelmed with grief.
She broke down, and I held her, and that's all I could do. She just laid there, sobbing.
Police searched outside Bob's home for any further clues.
The driveway was a mix of mud, dirt, and gravel, and it looked like her car may have driven through some of the mud.
Bob had said Debbie was last there about a week before her murder. Police took photos of the tire tracks outside his house and collected soil from his driveway and lawn.
Just to make sure we weren't missing anything.
Police never found any tire tracks that matched Debbie's car on Bob's property. Yet Bob Atrops was an obvious suspect. But he wasn't the only man in Debbie's life. Since she had moved out 5 months before, Debbie had been dating, and those relationships were complicated.
Debbie had very good taste and was a good judge of people, but a terrible judge of men. Every man that she seemed to hook up with was a problem.
On this show, we cover what happens in the hardest moments. But there's another side to every story. The people who show up. The ones who run toward crisis, who stop the bleeding, who bring people back. Doctors, nurses, first responders, the people who hold the line. Most of them, they wear FIGS. Back-to-school season often means lectures, labs, and late nights for healthcare workers in training. It's also a reminder that in medicine, education never really ends. And right now, FIGS just dropped fresh colors and exclusive back-to-school styles. And the best part, everything's 20% off site-wide for a limited time. From scrubs to outerwear to footwear and beyond, FIGS keeps awesome humans looking sharp, performing their best, and ready to take on anything. From marathon lab sessions to 12-hour shifts. So if you're in healthcare or know someone who is, don't miss out on 20% off for back to school happening now through August 11th at wearfigs.com. That's wearfigs.com. Summer adds up fast. A trip here, a dinner there, a couple of outdoor concerts. With all the extra expenses this season brings, it's easy to wonder if you're getting the most out of your money. That's why you need to check out Chime. They are completely changing the game with rewarding fee-free banking, meaning no monthly fees, no minimum balance requirements, and absolutely no overdraft fees. My younger self definitely could have benefited from that. It gets better, too. You can get 5% cash back on your Chime card in a category of your choice. I'm talking everyday purchases like gas or groceries, all while building your credit through everyday spending with no credit check required. Plus, your savings grow faster with an interest rate that's 9 times the national average. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free with America's number one choice for banking. Head to chime.com/48hours. That's chime.com/48hours. Sign up now. It only takes a few minutes. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Qualifying direct deposits required. Terms and limits apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
So you're always sort of by his side, right?
Always. Yeah. It was great growing up with my dad. He was an amazing dad.
From your little girl. Did you get this?
Do you have memories of him being hands-on?
Yeah, my dad was very hands-on. I knew that I was his number one.
And thank you for being the nicest daddy there could ever be.
I remember being at my grandpa's house with my cousin, going through old photo albums and finding a picture of this woman. And I was like, who's that? And she just kind of was like, that's your mom. From that point on, I always remember knowing the story.
Debbie Atrop's daughter, Rihanna Stevens, says she learned about her mother's murder when she was 6 or 7 years old. She says growing up, her dad only shared fond memories of her mom.
I didn't know that they had separated. Anything that I had ever heard about her was always good from him.
But things were not always good in Bob and Debbie's marriage. Debbie's stepfather, Ed Holland, remembers meeting Bob, a construction product salesman, and talking to Debbie's mother about how quickly Bob and Debbie walked down the aisle.
They were still in a courtship when they got married. I said to Gloria, I said, this is way too fast. She says, well, if they're in love, why not?
Debbie's friend, Darlene Lufkin, says, like Ed, she was not confident the relationship had a strong foundation.
How long did they know each other?
Just a few months, it seems like. It takes time to get to know someone, and I don't think she really knew Bob yet.
Bob and Debbie got married in June 1987 and adopted Rihanna the following March.
Hello, Rihanna Lynn.
Because of conflicts in their marriage, just a few months after bringing Rihanna home, Debbie moved into her own apartment in Salem, 30 miles away from Bob. Investigators say Debbie had soon reconnected with an old boyfriend, Jeff Freeburg.
You said he was the one for her, perhaps.
That's the one she kept wanting to go back to. She really, really liked him. And I don't think he was just ready for that kind of relationship yet.
By September 1988, Debbie had a new boyfriend, a man she met at work named John Pearson. John was separated from his wife and had two young boys.
But I remember she was on the phone at my house once with him. She handed me the phone and he said how much she was looking forward to meeting me and the girls. When Debbie was seeing people, for some reason, she wanted them to meet me and my girls.
Darlene says she and Debbie had grown close in their 20s when Darlene was a single mom.
She's really the only friend I had that enjoyed spending time with my daughters, and I treasured that.
In that autumn of 1988, although Debbie was dating John, she stayed in touch with Jeff Freeburg, and he loaned Debbie $8,000.
He had lent her money to buy a car. Could there have been motive in that?
He was wealthy, so I think he was happy to help Debbie.
Back in 1988, detectives had asked Freeburg for his alibi on the night Debbie was last seen alive. And he said he was home, except for going out briefly to get some dinner.
He seemed very straightforward, didn't hesitate to answer our questions, didn't seem to be hiding anything.
Police had also questioned John Pearson, who said he was with his children and his estranged wife that night. Pearson knew about Debbie's hair appointment and gave detectives a detailed description of many items inside her car.
John Pearson told police back then that there was a Burger King bag, as well as a box with cranberries and a child car seat. Seems like a lot of details about the car.
Pearson also said there wasn't enough room in the trunk for a body and that stuff would have to be taken out. But Detective O'Connell says Pearson had seemed truthful back in 1988.
He was mostly accessible, didn't appear to be trying to throw us off or anything.
And prosecutors Chris Luman and Allison Brown say there is an innocent reason John Pearson knew so much about Debbie's car.
They were seeing each other every day. I mean, something to look into for sure, which is why they did multiple interviews of John Pearson and a polygraph in 1988.
And did he pass the polygraph?
He did. And he was willing to do it and basically do everything that they asked him to do.
Bob Atrops hired a lawyer a week after Debbie's body was found and declined to take a polygraph. Detective O'Connell says Bob did not seem very worried about finding out who killed his wife.
He was kind of removed, just kind of distant.
O'Connell and his partner looked into the calls Bob said he made the night Debbie went missing.
There's no friends or anything she might have gone to visit?
Sex. That's all that I wanted to think of.
Bob told detectives he called the babysitter, Debbie's boss, and her parents while he was home waiting for her. They all confirmed he did call them that night, but there was a hitch. Those three calls were long distance and should have shown up on his phone bill.
That was a problem. Those phone calls were not there.
By now, detectives suspected Bob had killed Debbie. They thought there was no record of those three phone calls because Bob was out of the house that evening, disposing of Debbie's car and her body.
Police began looking for evidence Bob made those calls from somewhere else.
It involved checking pay phones. We looked at every angle. We struck out.
They did not find proof that Bob was lying or evidence connecting him to Debbie's murder.
I didn't like the thought of it just remaining unsolved.
O'Connell and his partner had a final meeting with Bob in 1990, asking him to account for those missing calls or to admit he had killed his wife. But Bob maintained his innocence.
And then it kind of went dead.
When the cold case team next interviewed Bob in 2022, they asked again about those phone calls and heard a very different story.
I'll be honest with you, Bob. Your story that you're telling us today is significantly different than what you told investigators back in the day. And so my question is, what really did happen?
We spent a lot of time together. We took the girls to the beach. Went to music in the park with picnic dinners.
It's been more than 30 years since Darlene Lufkin last saw her friend Debbie Atrops, but she says she still feels the loss.
It sounds like you have really fond memories of Debbie.
Oh, yeah. I miss her every day still.
Darlene, like many in Debbie's life, longed for answers. And in 2022, she got one step closer when the cold case team sent Debbie's coat and those soil samples for testing.
The soil was sent to the FBI lab. The DNA was sent.
While they waited, the cold case team continued to examine Bob's behavior back in 1988, which prosecutors say was suspicious from that first call.
He calls law enforcement within, you know, probably 20 minutes of calling the friends and family, and to us, that seemed a little quick. So we believe he was attempting to get his story out there and to portray himself as a concerned husband and try to develop that narrative that he wanted to early on.
Detective O'Connell says he had the same feeling. Remember, Bob had called police four times that night.
What's the Shakespeare quote? He protests too much. It was interesting to us that he was calling so frequently and so soon. It didn't seem normal.
The cold case team also turned their attention to the road where Debbie's car was found, next to that construction site. Bob's former boss at Allied Building Products told them he believed Bob had a connection there.
He was selling roofing products. I knew that he was selling products in that area.
In 2022, the results from those DNA tests came back. The lab said they found a mixture of DNA on the collar and shoulder of Debbie's coat.
They swapped that area of her coat because if you're strangled, that would be the area you'd have contact with.
The lab compared that sample from Debbie's coat to her boyfriend at the time, John Pearson.
It's not present.
And neither was her ex-boyfriend, Jeff Freeburg.
Jeff Freeburg, not present.
But the lab said Bob Atrops could not be excluded as a contributor to that DNA mixture.
We can't say it's a match. It's just, it's moderate support that it's more likely Mr. Atrops than an unknown individual.
Prosecutors admit while the DNA from Debbie's coat excludes Freeburg and Pearson, it does not make a complete case against Bob Atrops.
I think it's another piece. There are many, many different pieces. It was a very fact-intensive case.
Another one of those pieces, they say, is the mud.
This murder was connected to mud. Her body was covered in mud. There was mud on the outside of the car, on the inside of the car.
The FBI lab, which examined this evidence, concluded that the mud on Debbie's car tire did not match the mud where her car was found. However, that mud on the tire, they said, was indistinguishable from the mud from Bob's lawn, in color, composition, and texture. This is evidence prosecutors say
that Bob was lying when he said Debbie did not come to his house the night she went missing.
According to the defendant's interview, she had not been to his house for about 10 days.
Bob Atrops hadn't spoken to police about the case since that final conversation with detectives in 1990. But in 2022, he agreed to talk to the cold case team.
It is October 19, 2022, here with Bob Atrops.
Investigators asked Bob about those calls to friends and family that didn't appear on his phone bill back in 1988.
You made those phone calls from your house.
Yes.
Using your home phone.
With an MCI card.
No.
Yes.
No.
Bob now said he had used an MCI calling card to make those missing long-distance calls from home.
Yeah, an MCI card from Allied Building Products.
That is not what you told investigators. And you said, I made those calls from my home phone using my home long distance.
But you dial in and you punch in the code and then you can complete the long distance.
Prosecutors say Bob didn't have that MCI calling card in 1988. And what's more, Prosecutor Chris Luman says this story doesn't make sense.
In 1988, to make a calling card, you had to input about a 16-digit calling card number and then another 6 or 8-digit code. And if you're frantically looking for your wife, why take the time to do that and enter all those numbers?
In 2023, prosecutors brought the case to a grand jury who voted to indict.
I got a phone call on March 2nd of 2023 at 5 o'clock in the morning that my dad had just been arrested. I was just in shock.
Rihanna says Bob is a loving dad and doting grandfather to her 3 children.
What was it like seeing your dad? Front page story.
It was awful to see the news making him out to be this terrible person that he just isn't. He didn't do this.
Cold case detectives spoke to Bob Atrops again after his arrest.
My opinion is you've told yourself a story for the last 34 years, and you've told yourself the story over and over and over again to the point that it's become the truth for you. It doesn't make it true, but it makes it easier for you to tell that story.
I don't believe that, but okay.
What part don't you believe?
A story that I created, I guess.
You don't believe that you created a story?
No.
Okay. You just are not in a position to acknowledge that you played a role in her death.
No, I did not.
Bob Atrops pleaded not guilty to Debbie's murder. Attorney April Yates argues it's more likely Debbie's killer was her boyfriend at the time, John Pearson, than Bob.
John Pearson not only had motive, he had opportunity. He knew where Debbie Atrops was going to be. He knew about her hair appointment. And also, he knew an incredible amount of detail about her car.
But prosecutors say Pearson had nothing to do with Debbie's murder. Back in 1988, he told police that about a week before the murder, Bob confronted Debbie because he was suspicious she was in a new relationship. Pearson said Debbie was afraid if Bob found out it was true, he would kill her. The prosecution planned to call Pearson as a witness in Bob Atrop's upcoming trial.
We wanted to have him testify because we found him credible.
But that would never happen. Pearson, who had been ill and had an outstanding warrant for a DUI in Oregon, stopped responding to detectives. When authorities located him in Arizona, 5 days before opening arguments were to begin, John Pearson killed himself.
John Pearson fled the state. He was on the run.
Attorney Janice Purcell was part of the defense team.
Police find him in a trailer in the desert in Arizona. When police surround that trailer, he ends his life rather than coming back to Oregon to answer questions about Debbie Atrop's murder. Those are the facts. Prosecution can spin it all they want, but those are the facts.
The Hulu original series, Furious, is now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney+. From Liz Merriweather, the Emmy-nominated executive producer of Dying for Sex and The Dropout, comes a gripping psychological thriller. Starring Emmy Rossum as Alice Black, Furious follows a rookie FBI agent on the hunt for Catherine, played by Lola Pettigrew, a mysterious, calculating female serial killer. While Alice upholds justice, Catherine kills for it, terrorizing the rich and powerful men of New York in her pursuit of vengeance. As their twisted game of cat and mouse unfolds, the lines between good and evil begin to blur. With shocking crimes, tangled relationships, and secrets that change everything, Alice discovers there's a thin line between hunter and prey. Watch the Hulu original series, Furious, now streaming on Hulu and Hulu on Disney Plus for bundle subscribers. Terms apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm trying to be strong for my dad.
In spring 2025, Robert Atrop's murder trial began here at the Washington County Courthouse. Prosecutors worried the jury might get stuck on details they could not explain.
In a case where we need to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, we're not going to be able to answer every single detail of what happened that night.
Remember, the appointment was supposed to end around 7:15. By 9:40 p.m., he's calling 911.
At the trial, which allowed audio but not video recording of witnesses, attorney Allison Brown argues that Bob Atrop's intentionally misled the police, starting with those four calls he made to them the night Debbie was last seen alive.
He didn't tell the law enforcement officials that they were separated, that they lived separately. So he didn't actually give them the information that they would need to find her.
Bob didn't tell police Debbie lived in Salem until the next day. Even more incriminating, prosecutors say, is the fact that Bob Atrop did not call Debbie the night she went missing, or ever.
He never called her apartment.
That would have been the first phone call, right? Someone hasn't showed up, you're expecting them, you call them. Not only was that not the first phone call, but he never made that phone call at all.
When they asked about his route.
At trial, prosecutors played Bob's interview with investigators in 2022, where he explained why he didn't ever make that call.
Did you ever call Debbie's place?
Her house? No. I didn't even consider that as an option.
So let me rephrase and correct me if I'm right. You never considered calling the place she lives?
Not when she was supposed to be in our vicinity, no.
Prosecutors also want the jury to hear more about the troubles in Bob and Debbie's marriage. Debbie's friend Christy Knapp testified to an encounter with Bob at his house soon after Debbie moved out.
We went there to get some serving dishes. We walked into the entry and he just started freaking out and screaming. He seemed really, really tall and really scary. It was terrifying.
Another friend, Tammy Nelson, told police in 1988, Debbie had confided in her that Bob Atrops had choked her in a violent confrontation shortly before she moved out. Tammy told the jury Debbie was still worried about Bob after their separation.
What did she say she was concerned about?
Well, she was concerned that he'd kill her. I thought she was teasing to begin with, you know, or she was being dramatic.
Yeah.
And so I turned around and I looked at her and I saw that she was genuinely scared.
Tammy had also told police in 1988 that a few months before her murder, Debbie was worried about Bob finding out about her relationship with John Pearson. Tammy later told the cold case team, Debbie had said, if anything happens to me, Bob did it.
Debbie is predicting her own murder. She is telling friends and family, if he finds out about this, he will kill me. Mm-hmm. And she was right.
But in their cross-examinations, the defense suggests these stories Debbie told are not reliable. And they say Debbie had a history of making up false tales.
She had told different stories to different people, and these things were verifiably not true.
Some of Debbie's friends say she did tell questionable stories, often about her health. Darlene says she thought Debbie might have done it for attention.
One time she said that she went to work out, her stomach flipped or something, and she had to go get emergency help with it. It didn't seem real to me.
And there's a very simple...
Attorney April Yates says there is a simple explanation for why Bob Atrops didn't call Debbie that night. He had spoken to her stepfather, Ed Holland.
Ed told Bob that he had been by Debbie's apartment and she wasn't home. There was no reason for Bob to call. And the next morning, Debbie's parents went to her apartment again, as did law enforcement. So there was no reason for Bob to call or go there. The fact that the state is trying to make something out of that, it's a red herring.
During trial, the babysitter and Debbie's stepfather testified that Bob had called them the night Debbie went missing, which supports Bob's story. Attorney Stephanie Poland says the best explanation for why those so-called missing calls weren't on his phone bill is that the billing equipment was faulty.
We found the engineer and he testified that this equipment failed all the time.
But the cold case team believes Bob made those calls while he was out of the house getting rid of evidence to help him create a false alibi. And they say it was impossible to check every payphone in the area back in 1988.
What was significant is he's not where he said he was. He's not at home. Why would he lie about where he was that night?
While the state emphasized the link between the mud on Debbie's tire and the soil from Bob Atrop's front yard, the defense says that this soil is everywhere in the region and is as common as dirt.
This soil is everywhere. My yard, her yard, the DA's yard. It doesn't make us suspects in a murder.
Back in 1988, police didn't collect mud from Jeff Freeburg's property or John Pearson's. They only took samples from where Debbie's car was found and from Bob Atrop's driveway and lawn. Then there is the matter of the DNA from Debbie's coat.
The DNA in this case doesn't tell the jury anything about who killed Debbie Atrops.
Attorney Yates points out that the amount of DNA on Debbie's coat that the lab had said could be consistent with Bob Atrops was minuscule, the equivalent of about 6 skin cells.
And this very low level of DNA is consistent with something called transfer DNA. People who have babies in shared custody transfer DNA all the time.
So in your opinion, this DNA was not strong evidence?
This DNA was not only not strong evidence, it doesn't mean anything.
The defense argues there is a much more important DNA result from Debbie's autopsy.
One of the very first items that the lab tested for DNA were vaginal swabs taken from the autopsy.
Attorney Janice Purcell specializes in evidence that can lead to wrongful convictions. She says the DNA from Debbie's autopsy does not point to Bob Atrops.
The semen came from John Pearson, and the likelihood ratio is 94.6 sextillion. It's an enormous number.
And she points out Pearson's DNA at autopsy contradicts his statement to police from 2022.
John Pearson told law enforcement that he did not have sexual contact with with Debbie Atrops in the 72 hours before she was murdered, and definitely not on the day that she was murdered. But they found that semen 2 days later at the autopsy. Everything is telling us that that was most likely deposited on the day that she was murdered.
And the defense reminds the jury, John Pearson was avoiding the cold case team in the months leading up to his suicide. In its closing statement, the defense says the state just doesn't have enough to make its case against Bob Atrops. But prosecutors argue all of the pieces point in one direction, to Bob Atrops.
Like you hear, motive, means, and opportunity, he had it all.
Now, after 2 weeks of testimony, it is time for the jury to decide.
We didn't know if that would be enough or not. It's incredibly nerve-wracking.
You know those days when you put on a simple white t-shirt and your favorite pair of jeans, but then you add just one perfect intentional piece of jewelry and suddenly your entire outfit is completely transformed? That's exactly what Jenny Bird does. You'll find yourself reaching for Jenny Bird pieces constantly because they are so effortless to style and beautifully lightweight to wear. And if you get up early like I do, the last thing you want to do in the morning is stress about putting together an outfit. Jenny Bird can make getting ready easy because everything in the collection works so harmoniously together. It's one of those brands where every piece works with the others. Jenny Bird pieces also make the ultimate foolproof gift for your mom, sister, or your best friend because they're so comfortable, versatile, and instantly elevate even the most basic look. It is truly the kind of jewelry that makes it look like you put a ton of thought and effort into your outfit when actually you just threw it on and walked out the door. Give your everyday wardrobe an instant sophisticated upgrade. Get a free gift with your first Jenny Bird order when you shop at jenny-bird.com.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
What did you think before the jury left to go deliberate? Did you feel confident?
I didn't feel confident. I just, because of the fear of the unknown, I don't feel like any evidence was actually given that proves my dad did this, because he didn't. There is no evidence that he did this.
On April 17th, 2025, the jury reached a decision.
It was 6 hours that they were deliberating. We thought that that was a quick verdict and that could be a good thing.
My understanding, the jury has a verdict in this case, is that correct?
Correct.
To the charge of murder in the second degree, the jury has found the defendant guilty.
Guilty. 37 years after her death, Robert Atrops was found guilty of murdering Debbie Atrops.
It was like the room went dead silent. And everything was still in that moment.
We all crumbled. We are grieving someone that is still alive.
Were you able to say anything to your father in that moment, right after?
No, I...
Hug him, nothing.
I haven't been able to hug my dad in over 2 years.
We had so many family and friends of Bob behind us. It was really hard for them, especially, to see this happen to their loved one.
I could see it's hard for you, too.
It is hard. It's hard to have an innocent client get convicted.
Prosecutors say they're glad that justice was served.
This case took 37 years to finally be resolved. Are you satisfied that we know the truth about what happened to Debbie Atrops?
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's no other people, no other suspects, no one else with the motive. We feel absolutely 100% sure that he's the one who committed this crime.
Prosecutors are confident the investigation proved the other men in Debbie's life, including Jeff Freeburg, were not involved in her murder. Freeburg declined our request to comment on the case.
There just really wasn't any information that pointed in the direction of Jeff Freeburg. He gave his DNA freely. There really just wasn't any motive evidence or anything else that caused him to be a significant suspect.
And they say John Pearson's suicide was an unrelated tragedy.
He had an open criminal case. I believe he thought they were there to arrest him for this misdemeanor warrant and took his life.
There was quite a bit of investigation that was done by our detective after he committed suicide to show it had nothing to do with a guilt for Debbie's murder.
When 48 Hours reached out in 2025, Pearson's lawyer declined to comment on the case. Prosecutors say Pearson's family told them he had wanted to testify at Bob's trial.
I thought that it would be important for him to relay all the things he knew, including those statements that Debbie made back in 1988, that Bob's going to kill me if he finds out about us.
As for the defense's argument that Debbie had a history of making up stories, prosecutors say this is unfortunately consistent with life inside an abusive relationship.
When someone's going through a domestic violence situation, they are in a way living a lie.
Bob's side of the courtroom was full. Did that strike you as interesting?
It depends on the case.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think he had a large support system, and it's not uncommon for people in a domestic abuse situation to kind of go unknown as a DV abuser. And I think Bob was good at that. I mean, he was a salesman.
After all these years, Darlene Lufkin says she thinks the jury got it right.
I had my suspicions all along.
You believed that was the right verdict.
I do. I just feel that the question's been answered now.
At her father's sentencing in July 2025, Rihanna Stevens made an emotional appeal for leniency.
When I was 8 months old, someone robbed me of getting to have a life with my mom, there to support my every milestone. 36 years later, I'm being robbed of my father. The man that was there for all of those milestones. I need him in my life.
Attorney Polin read a letter from Bob Atrop's current wife, who has been married to him since 2011.
My husband has always been a devoted and loving father to his daughter.
Despite these appeals, the judge sentenced Robert Atrops to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 25 years.
You lost your mom at a young age, and you said now you grieve your dad, who is still alive. How do you make sense of what's happening?
I can't make sense of what's happening. I just have to live through it and keep fighting.
She truly loved Rihanna.
What do you want people to know about your friend Debbie?
That she didn't deserve this. She was a light that should still be here.
Do you think about your mother now?
I do think about her. I wonder what life would have been like.
My open kid.
Had I gotten to live my whole life, grow up having my mom.
Robert Atrops will be eligible for parole in 2048. He will be 93 years old.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy, but it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow, and their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.
August 15th on Paramount Plus.
Islam, I'm telling you now, you have a duty to defend that belt against the best, and you're looking at them.
If you want this belt, come to the cage.
Islam Makhachev.
The best in the world.
Defends his welterweight crown against Ian Machado Gary.
I'm coming for that belt.
When you call your shot, you best not miss.
I will make him never talk about me again.
UFC 330, Saturday, August 15th. Free with your Paramount Plus subscription.